What's up, you beautiful bastards? Hope you've had a fantastic Monday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. And two quick notes before we get started. One, possibly the most important thing, I've been wearing sweatpants for 2.5 weeks, which I'm still internally debating if that's awesome or depressing. And two, if you have not caught it already, the Friday Philip DeFranco Show was a special one. I had Dr. Fauci on to answer some questions, all part of our new Monday through Friday Philip DeFranco Show schedule. But that said, welcome to the Philip DeFranco Show. Buckle up, hit that like button, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is actually just highlighting some of the good that we're seeing. First up, today is National Doctors Day, and I think that I'm not alone in saying just thank you. And to echo New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, to each and every doctor putting his or her life at risk to save the lives of others, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You are the unwavering frontline soldiers, angels, and heroes in this war. And also adding later, our healthcare workers are on the front line. They are the soldiers fighting this battle on behalf of all of us. Support them. Stay home. Then, despite Gal Gadot and all those other celebrities that were kind of made fun of because of that Imagine video, we saw more celebrities singing, though this got a much better reception. Last night, Fox Presents the iHeart Living Room Concert for America aired. In addition to providing entertainment for people that definitely need it right now, they also raised money. And that reportedly for first responders, and you had Alicia Keys performing, Elton John, Billie Eilish, Dave Grohl, all 5 Backstreet Boys, even though they were in different locations. And there were many more, also very awesome. Instead of having commercials, Fox promoted and encouraged people to donate to Feeding America and First Responders Children's Foundation. Separate from this, and it's such a Post Malone story, we've seen Post Malone and Mike Studd launching an event. They call it the Ball in a Cup. It is a virtual beer pong tournament, and they're going to be raising money for 8 days. Each night, there will be 2 matches. All right, some more entertainment, more raising money for a good cause. And then finally, another entertainer and celebrity joining the ranks of just giving money to fans who say they're in need right now. We've seen the likes of YouTube's own David Dobrik taking to Venmo and PayPal. Right, so some good before we get into what are arguably very heavy topics later today. And then let's talk about the news around Zoom, which has essentially become the app of the coronavirus pandemic and self-quarantine. And for those that are unfamiliar with it, it's a video chatting and conferencing app that allows people to either use their computer or mobile devices. It feels like everyone's using it for things like work meetings, school sessions, just having brunch with friends. I mean, even the government in the United Kingdom is using it. But with its rise in popularity also comes a ton of questions about whether or not the app is safe. And in the past, it has had a few issues pop up, including a flaw that allowed for snooping and a webcam hacking issue. And now there have been several new reports that reveal there still could be some security issues with the software. And first, let's talk about some of the features that you may just not know about and you probably would benefit from knowing about, but also you may see as a privacy issue. So for example, one, there is a feature called attention tracking. And with this, the host of a Zoom meeting can use this feature to see if an attendee does not have Zoom in focus for more than 30 seconds, meaning that they have their Zoom window going, but also have another window open and active instead. Right, so say you're in a meeting, but you're taking notes in a separate document, or pop on and out of reference files, or get a little bored and check Twitter. That would mean your Zoom window is no longer in focus. And if this happens for over 30 seconds and your host has the attention tracking feature turned on, they are alerted. Right, so if you're an employee, a student, a whoever, just be aware that this is a thing. You should also be aware that you may be getting recorded, whether it be someone just recording their screen or using Zoom features. Right, with Zoom in general, there's a local recording which allows anyone, whether you're a subscriber or a free user, to record a call and have it saved to your computer. But also for paid subscribers, there is cloud recording, meaning that all the video, audio, chat, text is recorded in the Zoom cloud. It's uploaded and accessible to anyone else that has privileges. Additionally, we've seen reports of Zoom bombing, where trolls are able to get into Zoom meetings that they're not supposed to. Some reports saying people have gone into meetings showing graphic content like pornography, violent imagery. And in these instances, you have the host trying to get rid of them, but they're able to just re-enter under a different name. And you have these hosts unable to deal with it, they just end the calls. Specifically around this, NBC talked to a couple that reads children books to kids stuck at home via Zoom. There, Ruha Benjamin, an associate professor of African American Studies at Princeton University, was leading the call and told NBC that while she was reading to kids, an image of a chubby white man in a thong popped up, saying at first she didn't know if everyone could see it, but then a male voice began repeatedly saying the N-word for all 40 kids on the call to hear. And this is in part due to the security settings of specific calls. Right, if a Zoom call is public or if the link has been made public, anyone who wants to join can. So with many more people having more time than ever, it's not surprising we're seeing this all over the place, from virtual classroom lectures to religious sermons. And their ability to do this is also aided by some of Zoom's default settings. And for the most part, a lot of people using Zoom now are new users. Right, so you have default settings that allow for anyone to get screen time, though notably that can be changed in advanced settings if you know what to look for. You can also select things like disabling file transfers, preventing removed people from joining the call again. And I'll link to more tips down below. And then finally, regarding Zoom, one of the biggest issues that people have had is what they're doing with your information. Though, it is worth noting here that Zoom has responded to some of these issues. So late last week, if you didn't see, Vice's Motherboard did a report showing that Zoom can actually send your data to Facebook, who, if you don't recall, has had their fair share of controversies related to user privacy. And reportedly, this could happen even if you didn't have a Facebook account. And as far as how this worked, as Motherboard explains, upon downloading downloading and opening the app, Zoom connects to Facebook's Graph API. And then, among other things, the Zoom app would notify Facebook when a user opens the app, which phone carrier they're using, and detail a unique advertiser identifier created by the user's device, which companies can use to target a user with advertisements. So you had a number of people saying that this is shocking because there was nothing in the privacy policy about this. Though, like I said, there has been an update. Zoom has removed the code that sends data to Facebook, saying that it stemmed from an issue in their SDK or software development kit. But yeah, just a few things you and others may need to be aware of, as Zoom does seem very core to a lot of people's new normal. Also, as a side question to this, what has your experience been, if at all, with Zoom? And also, what have you been personally using to stay in touch with friends or work from home? Also, for those using Zoom, I've seen this request, and so I want to provide. I have both a slightly blurred still, so you'll look super in focus, and a video that you can use as your background on Zoom. Because, you know, I got you. And then let's talk about workers planning strikes amid the coronavirus outbreak. The first being Amazon, where workers have actually been planning a walkout at the Staten Island facility today. And this notably comes after the news that one of the workers there tested positive for the coronavirus, and that worker may not have been alone. We saw Christian Smalls, a process assistant at the facility leading the walkout, speak to CNN and say that Amazon has not been transparent with the public about how many of their workers have tested positive, saying at least 5 to 7 workers have been diagnosed with it and calling the facility a breeding ground for this pandemic. And the big reason for their strike is to demand that the facility be thoroughly clean. And this is because Smalls and others claim that the building just continues to be run the same way, saying not enough extra measures have been taken. With Smalls saying, the plan is to cease all operations until the building is closed and sanitized. We're not asking for much. We're asking the building to be closed and sanitized and for us to be paid during that process. And right now, Smalls himself is actually on a 14-day quarantine, this after he sent home a worker who was visibly ill. Currently, Amazon is mandating that sick employees stay home, giving those who are diagnosed or those who come in contact with someone diagnosed an extra 2 weeks paid sick leave so they can quarantine. And some employees are asking that access to more sick leave be made available to all employees, not just the ones who test positive or who have been exposed. Now, also of note, Amazon has been denying a lot of Smalls' claims, with a spokesperson saying that Smalls is acting like an authority on something he is not the authority of, saying Mr. Smalls is alleging many misleading things in his statements, also saying that the warehouse does not need to be shut down to be cleaned because the frequency of deep cleanings and other sanitation measures have increased. But still, this afternoon, we saw employees walk out. Video footage from the strike showing people holding posters while also trying to social distance. Reportedly, at least 100 people attended, some carrying signs that say our health is just as essential and protect your workers. It's also worth noting here that it's not just this Staten Island Amazon location where there's a problem. In fact, at least 13 Amazon warehouses have reported confirmed cases of the coronavirus, also temporarily closing a warehouse in Queens after a case was confirmed there. And according to CNBC, workers at numerous facilities have been forced to ration essential things like hand sanitizer and disinfectant wipes if they're even available. Amazon is also not the only company with upset workers right now. Workers at Instacart, for example, the grocery delivery service, they plan on doing a nationwide strike. And this because while the corporate offices of Instacart are of course working at home, the company's gig worker or shoppers are of course still left out in the world going into grocery stores, and they say that nothing is being done to protect them. So they want more paid sick leave. Also, according to NPR, they're asking for disinfectants like hand sanitizer, hazard pay of another $5 per order, and a higher default tip. And thus far, it appears that Instacart has only addressed some of these concerns, saying that they will distribute more hand sanitizer and other supplies and change tipping settings. And Sarah Polito, who works for Instacart, spoke to NPR and said, "Actions speak louder than words. You can tell us that we're these household heroes and that you appreciate us. But you're not, actually. They're not showing it. They're not taking these steps to give us the precautions. They're not giving us hazard pay." And their strike is also set to start today, with some workers saying they'll be refusing all orders until their demands are met. Also, a thing that needs to be noted is there are a number of companies that say, yes, we will give you 2 weeks paid sick leave if you are diagnosed with the coronavirus. But of course, one of the issues that remains is there's not enough tests for the coronavirus out there. So there have been alleged instances where someone goes to the doctor, they say, okay, well, we can't test you for COVID-19, but you do have something, you should quarantine for 2 weeks, and that person does not get paid sick leave. And I will say, it is going to be very interesting to see what actually happens. Right? These jobs are more in demand by consumers every single day. People are getting more deliveries than ever, whether it be same-day food service from restaurants, the grocery store, just stuff from Amazon. But also, we've entered a period of time, and it will probably escalate from here, where people are losing their jobs more than ever. So are we going to see a surge in those recently unemployed moving to these jobs because the demand is there, thus undercutting those trying to strike right now? It'll be interesting to see, though, there have been a large number of people supportive of the workers. This, including the likes of AOC, who actually called on people to skip their orders today. But also, an update to this story as we were filming. Reportedly, Instacart is claiming that a proposed worker strike had absolutely no impact on its operations. And in fact, the platform had 40% more workers than it did at the same day and time last week, though that has not been independently verified yet, and adding that it sold more groceries via its platform over the past 72 hours than in any prior 72-hour period. All right, so there's that. And then let's talk about what appears to be one of the side effects of so much self-quarantine. You know, over the past few days and weeks, I've seen people kind of joking about, oh, I bet there's going to be a ton of babies in 9 months. You know, some calling them Rona, babies, but there's also a darker aspect to people being stuck inside. We're starting to see reports around the world of increases in domestic violence. In Hubei, where the coronavirus originated, reports of domestic violence to law enforcement tripled in one county alone during a February lockdown. We've seen a Brazilian judge who specializes in domestic violence speculating that it has increased by up to 50% due to coronavirus-related restrictions. Hotlines in Spain also reporting a spike in the number of calls. We've also seen similar reports in the United States as well, with officials at an abuse shelter in Charlottesville, North Carolina, for example, saying their calls for domestic violence incidents have shot up by 40%, with many other helplines also reporting spikes as well. We also saw Katie Ray Jones, chief executive of the National Domestic Violence Hotline, telling the Washington Post, "We know that when there's added stress in the home, it can increase the frequency and severity of abuse. We're trying to prepare survivors for that." And adding, "There is a lot of uncertainty about what is even possible right now. If you need to call the police, what does that look like?" Which actually, on that note, some police forces have actually seen a drop in domestic violence calls recently. But they fear this is an indication that victims are being abused into silence with less freedom and space from their abuser to report crimes. So law enforcement agencies are sending out messages reminding people how to trigger silent alerts. Which actually, on that note, activists in Italy say they saw a sharp drop in calls, but an influx of requests for help through texts and emails. Also, in addition to contributing to an increase in domestic violence, the pandemic is hindering victims' access to services meant to help them. Right? Some might not leave their abusers because they fear violating stay-at-home orders or risking exposure to COVID-19 outside of the home. And as Maureen Curtis, vice president of Victims Assistance Association in New York, explained, maybe their child has special needs or medical needs and they don't want to be in a group setting. So they're choosing not to go to a shelter because the risk of their child being infected by the virus is higher than their risk of physical violence. So they'll manage the risk of staying home through this. And connected to that, other victims have expressed similar fears, reporting that they haven't sought medical care for fear of being exposed to the virus in facilities, even after suffering injuries from domestic violence. Also, the job layoffs and economic hardships that have come with the coronavirus present challenges, as domestic violence victims might have a harder time leaving if they're financially dependent on their abuser. And as far as what countries are doing, I mean, we can look to Spain. They're one of the countries being hit the hardest by the coronavirus, and they've been taking their stay-at-home orders extremely seriously, issuing fines to those who violate them by going out. But the government has also told women that they will not be penalized for leaving their homes to report abuse. In Germany, the Green Party's parliamentary leader is pushing for the same exceptions in her country, urging the government to allocate money for safe houses where victims can retreat to, suggesting they use empty hotels. We also saw an Italian prosecutor rule that if domestic violence is found in a home, the abuser must leave, not the victim. In the United States, 24 U.S. senators, including presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, wrote a letter to officials at the Department of Health and Human Services and Department of Justice. They're requesting that organizations set up to help domestic violence victims have the flexibility, resources, and information needed to continue to provide these critical services during the pandemic. In Greenland, we saw them take a unique approach to this. Domestic violence has been on the rise there, and so Greenland's government announced a ban on the sale of alcohol in its capital city. This reportedly in an effort to curb violence against children as families are required to shelter in. This move comes from evidence that has been found that alcohol use ups the frequency and severity of domestic violence. So there's that, and if there's anything that I can end this story on, domestic violence is not okay, it's not your fault, it is inexcusable, and if you need any resources, including silent help, I'm going to provide them in the description down below. And where I want to end today's show are our daily updates around these numbers and what we're looking like in the United States right now. Worldwide, as of 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we saw the number of cases at 766,336, the total confirmed deaths, 36,873. In the United States, which now leads the world in the number of confirmed cases, we saw 153,246 confirmed cases with 2,828 deaths. As of right now, at least 30 states have issued stay-at-home orders for their people, with the Trump administration announcing yesterday that they were extending social distancing guidelines to April 30th. And as far as what the numbers could be in the United States, the number of confirmed cases, the number of deaths. You saw Dr. Fauci say over the weekend,
"I've never seen a model of the diseases that I've dealt with, which the worst case scenario actually came out. They always overshoot. So when you use numbers like a million and a half, 2 million, that almost certainly is off the chart. Now, it's not impossible, but very, very unlikely. So it's difficult to present. I mean, looking at what we're seeing now, you know, I would say between 100 and 200,000 cases, but I don't want to be held to that because it's deaths. I mean, we're going to have millions of cases, but I just don't think that we really need to make a projection when it's such a moving target that you can so easily be wrong and mislead people."
We also saw yesterday Donald Trump refer to those numbers.
"Think of the number, 2.2, potentially 2.2 million people if we did nothing. If we didn't do the distancing, if we didn't do all of the things that we're doing, if we could hold that down, as we're saying, to 100,000, it's a horrible number. Maybe even less, but to 100,000. So we have between 100 and 200,000. We all together have done a very good job.
And of course, with these numbers being mentioned, also talked about like this, it really shines a light on the seriousness of the situation, I think, to many people who maybe previously didn't care. We also had a lot of people pointing to this clip and saying it's an example of the president moving the goalposts, right? Saying that he's spinning the situation, that if there's only 100,000 deaths, we did a very good job. But how recently, when the president was minimizing the situation, talking about, you know, we have 15 cases, it's gonna go down to zero, right? This contrast in numbers, it highlights why the president and the administration in general should have moved faster. But ultimately, regardless of your opinion there, it brings us to the point that we get to with every story, also seemingly the most stressful part of life now. We're ultimately all, for the most part, stuck, and we just have to wait and see what happens in a situation where there are predictions of 100 to 200,000 people dying in a country. So if there's a thing that I can end on for the three people that make it to the end of every video, if you're stressed out right now, your anxiety is going crazy, you're going through a depressive episode, it's okay. Everyone is going through a lot of different things right now, and whatever thing that you maybe think invalidates your feelings or whatever, it doesn't. To share how I'm processing everything right now, this kind of situation is literally the worst kind of situation for me. Because I can deal with most any problem, any situation, as long as I know when it's probably going to end. From my kind of bad problems to my darkest days, I repeat to myself, one day, this will just be something that happened. This will just be something that happened. But when the finish line, it moves, you don't know where it is, where you know it's gonna get worse before it gets better. It's an overwhelming feeling. But if there's any sort of silver lining I can give you, you're not alone in this, and those feelings that you're having are not unique. If anything, they connect you to so many others who are experiencing it as well. But that is ultimately where I'm going to end this story and today's show. And hey, if you like this video, you like diving into the news with me every day, hit that like button. If you're new here, definitely subscribe, tap that bell to turn on notifications so you don't miss these daily videos. Also, if you're not 100% filled in, you can watch that interview I did with Dr. Fauci or check out one of the ACW clips we uploaded today. You just click or tap right there to watch either of those. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I hope you liked the video. Subscribe if you like it.